Amen. Definitely good as always to see everyone here this morning, and we know that we have several of our members traveling during this time period around the holiday weekend, so we always pray that they'll have a safe trip there. Before I get into my lesson, I got to get something off my chest, mainly with Brother Grady and Sister Tony. Now, as much as they talk about Willard, North Carolina, why y'all didn't tell us it was a vacation resort? I hear they got beachfront property down there. Brother Gray just told me about a nature reserve they got, and he calls it the field that he used to run across. And how I know it's a vacation resort? Mac and Shirley went there twice. So I'm kind of mad at that, because I like the vacation. I like spots like that. I'm just messing with them. Glad to have them there and back. Also, keeping your prayers, those who are a little more serious, those who are dealing with the earthquakes out in California. Some of us who lived out there, some of you lived out there, and they know it's kind of bad, but I got my peoples out there, my son and my daughter out there. So they ain't got shook up yet. Well, from that, they was in a little fender bender Friday out there in California, so we're glad that they didn't get hurt badly at all. But still, when that earth starts moving, I understand that's a different mindset. So we hope, trust, and pray they're over with, and then those who are experiencing are safe. Now, prepare for my lesson. I don't like to do this all the time, because I know what bad stuff happens sometimes. I want you to close your eyes. Some of y'all about got them closed already. Don't go to sleep on me. Just close them for a second. Now, what I want you to do is imagine you, Chad, why you peeking? Eyes closed. But anyway, imagine with your eyes closed, as tight as they can, you walk into your car. How many of you run into something? Okay, let's take a little further. With your eyes closed, can you walk home? Why not? Why are you not able to walk home with your eyes closed? Because that ties it. Open them up back now. Don't go to sleep on me. We're going to talk about learning to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. One verse. I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Then we're going to go into Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And it reads as such. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Sister scriptures we're going to use this morning. We're going to begin at verse number 12. Back up and give verse number 11 through 14. And it reads as such. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. But when ye ought, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those, especially this part, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. Not being able to see can be a scary thing. A lot of folks experience that later on in life, whether their vision fades or some lose complete vision. And, you know, I'm reminded of the movie Ray, the movie on Ray Charles. Reminded that movie, one of my favorite movies, but due to a medical condition, he went blind. And his mom was trying to prepare him the best she could. And I remember this scene. He was in the house. He walked in the house. He couldn't see. And his mama was right next to him. He was crying for his mama. She was quiet. What was she doing? Now, she saw a baby crying. She knew it was scary. But he had to learn to see with something other than his eyes. So then he was able to turn on his ears and able to hear and catch a grasshopper in the house, not being able to see it just by listening to the noise and the sounds a grasshopper make. One of the things we have to understand is that God is in the business of helping us grow from faith to faith. Part of that growth in faith is to allow certain situations or put you in situations where you can't see your way out. You can't see. You know, as I like to say, there's a difference between city dog and country dog. City dog, you can still see because usually there's lights around or a stoplight or something in the distance. But country dog, that's some places you can't even see the hand in front of your face. That's dark for you. That's what happens when sometimes life happens. That's going to be some situations where you really can't see with your own eyes. How you going to make it through it? How you going to make it over? Get bad news from the doctor. You don't know what's going to happen. What do you do then? Things not going right. You lose your job. Folks in your family not acting right. How you going to live then? Because what you see is no way out. What you see is all bad news. What you see is something you can't handle. But Paul here tells us that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Because life can be scary. Many believe that seeing is peace and safety. Is this true? What does it mean to walk by faith? Now notice walk. That's something you do continually. It didn't say hop. Because you can hop and stop. It didn't say lay down. It didn't say skip. But walking is something that's done on a constant basis every day. Now, you may not run everywhere, but if you have the capacity, you're going to walk somewhere during that day. You're not going to skip. You're not going to hopscotch. But maybe just walking from the bedroom to the kitchen. Maybe just walking out of your house to get a breath of fresh air. We use walking every day. So that lets us know that this is something that we should be operating by. We change our system. We should be operating not necessarily by what we see, but by our faith. And we're going to talk about how to do that. The practical points, and then this lesson is yours. What does it mean to walk by faith? Is it just blindly trusting with no evidence? I gave you the example when I started my lesson. If I told you to walk out there to your car, first of all, you know you got a car out there somewhere, unless somebody done took it without your permission, right? You know what's out there somewhere. Do you see it right now? No. So how do you know it's out there? You drove it here. You got out of it. You locked it when you got out of it. You maybe looked back to see if you left anything on top of it or in it. You thought about it. You're thinking about it. Maybe when it's time to go, get into your car, maybe warming it up or cooling it down rather in this hot weather. You know it's there, but you don't see it. How do you know it's still there? Wishing upon a star. And some people say, that's what my faith is. That's not some blind faith. Getting your palm read a fortune told. Be careful about that, man. Matter of fact, y'all need to leave all that stuff alone anyway. God tells us to leave that stuff alone. But how many folks live their lives by their horoscope? Kind of sad, isn't it? Somebody don't know nothing about you and probably don't know nothing about the God we serve. Gonna tell you not to go outside today. Gonna tell you your love is just around the corner. Gonna tell you all kinds of things they don't know anything about. Walking through life with one eye open and one eye closed is not that either. So it's a different type of walking that we must do. And we got a clue of it in Hebrews chapter 5. It is a sincere, complete trust in the promises of God. Look at Psalms 23 and 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Now, when you look at this and look at the example the psalmist used here, he understands that oftentimes during this period, during this land, during this territory, when shepherds would walk their sheep, they had to often go through narrow paths where basically the sunlight was blocked out. And guess what hid in these narrow paths? Predators. You know, one of the reasons why it tells us the shepherd in the same psalm has both a rod and a staff. The rod is to hit the head, in the head, those enemies. That's your protection mechanism. But he also has a staff that's crooked or hooked at the end so that he can catch that sheep before they stray away or fall off the cliff. You need both. Have you ever been through the valley of the shadow of death? Have you ever been in a situation when the problem, the shadow is bigger than the problem? Have you ever been spooked by a shadow? Have you ever had that happen in your life? How could you see? Have you ever been in a point in your life where you're walking and all of a sudden it gets black? It doesn't have to be physically. It could be just trouble and trials and tribulation all around you. You ever been in that situation? How do you see? How do you keep going? Who you trusting? You can't see with your eyes. There's got to be something better. And that's one of the beauties of being in Christ Jesus. We have so many blessings in Christ Jesus that we take for granted. And one of those is the ability, as we develop it, to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. It is a mindset to read and learn of him, meaning God. It is a mindset of understanding that Scripture is talking to us. It is a mindset that God has proven himself already trustworthy. It is like becoming a child. For children, until they get to the point where they can make their own decisions, you can tell a child, and they will believe wholeheartedly, that they go outside, it's going to rain sun drops, lollipops, and Hershey's Kisses. And you know what they'll do? They go get a bucket and wait. Now, we know that's not going to happen, but when you tell a child that, who trusts everything that comes out that parent or that adult's mouth, it's a done deal. They're going to have a bucket full of lollipops they can share with their friends. How is that possible? When Christ talks about becoming as a little child, to enter in the kingdom of heaven, we got to learn to trust and walk by. When God says something in Scripture, that's walking by faith. Some folks have a problem with what God has put in Scripture. I don't see it. Well, you ain't supposed to see it. Amen. You're supposed to walk by faith and trust him. Number three, second point is on this, it is when he knows us, we hear his voice, and we follow him. John 10, 28 and 29 tells us that Christ knows us, and his sheep know his voice, and they follow him. Now, how important is that? Because traditionally, during this land of Jerusalem and Israel, when they began to bring in their sheep and their flock in the winter and the colder months, each shepherd didn't have their own place, their own pasture. So they would put all the sheep maybe in a village in the same pasture, the same enclosure. But when it was time to go out and graze and feed, that shepherd spoke up and only his sheep followed his voice. So it could have been 20 of his sheep among 100. But only those 20 followed that particular shepherd's voice because they knew his voice. They didn't have to see. When their shepherd spoke up, they listened. All the other shepherds were calling their own sheep, but his sheep listened up. His sheep heard and responded to his voice. That's one of the keys of walking by faith and not by sight. Christ is working and talking through us all the time. We just correspond with him by praying. He's telling us in Scripture, I know the way. He's telling us in Scripture, I got you. He's telling us in Scripture, don't worry about it. He's telling us in Scripture, you're going to make it. He's telling us in Scripture, think not on these things. Don't worry about these things. Well, Lord, I don't see how. Stop trying to see how. Just trust. That's what it means to walk. When you're trying to see the end of the story, you're going to be frustrated the vast majority of your life. You're not supposed to see the end of the story. You're just supposed to walk with him and hold his hand. You're supposed to listen to his voice in those valleys of the shadow of death. You're supposed to listen to his voice when you can't see your way out of situations. That's how we begin to walk by faith. Where he leads, we follow. As we follow, he provides for us. That's all, really, in a nutshell, what Matthew 6:33 means. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where he leads, we follow, and as we follow, he provides. That's how it works. Why? Because we realize that he knows us and what's best for us. At some point in time, we have to give up trying to know what's best for Curtis and understand that God knows best. In all situations and circumstances, everyday life, he knows what's best for me. I need to be able to operate based on what he said. Why? Because he created us. Why? Because he loves us more than we love ourselves. Why? Because he's proven himself trustworthy. Why? Because he would never leave us in a situation of danger. Why? Because even trials and temptations, we need some time to build our patience. Because sometimes we wonder, God, why am I going into trials? Because you need them. Why am I going into trials? Because you live in an evil world and you have an enemy set out to destroy you. But Paul says many times, All the trials and tribulations, he says this, but out of them all, God brought me. He brought me out of them all of them. I don't care what folks try to do to you, say for you, take from you, say against you, God can bring you out of them all. That's his job. That's the job of a good shepherd. So we don't need to listen when folks are saying things about us. We don't need to focus on persecution and trial so much. Just listen to the master's voice. He'll walk you through it. He'll take you that he promised. You also learn to follow the apostles and their teachings. This is part of faith that we understand that we are led by God's Holy Spirit. That's one reason why he gives us the indwelling measure of the Spirit. It helps to guide us and understand. It connects us with his word. It's not some mystical force. It works. It's God, Spirit, dwelling in us. And these three are one. So you know if you're following Christ, you're also following God and the Holy Spirit. They say the same thing. They lead you the same direction. Following the apostles of Scripture equals walking by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says it. Follow me as I follow Christ. So in following Christ, we're following and walking by faith. In following those faithful saints that set examples, we're really walking by faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. We also learn to lean on his strength, not ours. One of the most beautiful passages, and I love the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, is this. Isaiah 40 and 31. We must learn to wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait? What does it mean to wait on him? His timing, his blessings, his provisions. And then what happens is our strength is renewed. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll keep going and faint not. He gives us the endurance to run this race called life. He knows that we get weak, and that our superpowers run out. Because many of us think we're superheroes, but guess what? You and I are not built to handle any and everything that comes our way. The problem is when we become super stressed and frustrated is we begin to think it's all on me. We begin to think it's all, I gotta do all this myself. And eventually, there's gonna be something on you that's put on your back that breaks you down. Walking by faith also allows us to cast our yoke upon Christ, as we see in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Walking by faith understands that he takes our burdens and he gives us his burden, but his burden is easy and light. He takes all those things away that burdens us down. If you give it to him, he's not going to knock you over the head and take them from you. But walking by faith means we give them to him. We allow him to do it. He designed. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too big that he can't handle. That's why with God, you're always in the minority. The majority. It keeps us from getting weary in this life. He knows that we get weak. Next point is, we are able to abide and rest in his peace. You got no peace in your life? My question is, where's your peace? Is it in somebody else? That ain't gonna last. Is it in something else? Well, that ain't gonna last either. Is it in your job? That could be gone tomorrow. Is it in your health? That could be gone tomorrow. Is it in your family? They could be gone tomorrow. Where does your peace lie? If it's in anybody but Jesus, it's in the wrong place. That's what he means when he says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with supplication and prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace has all understanding. The peace that he gives you, you can't even understand. You don't have to understand. That's the problem. Sometimes, why can't I understand? Well, don't worry about it. That's what he's saying. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. But you got to trust me. So we walk by faith and not by sight. This allows us to safeguard our minds from worry and spiritual short-sightedness. How do you know you're getting spiritually short-sighted? You just begin to be spooked by things of this world. Things start to rob you of your peace. You can't have joy anymore. Things ain't going right in your life, and it just throws you for a loop. God didn't put us on this earth to be tossed to and fro in the winds of change and problems and tribulations. He puts us by living waters. so that storms don't move us. So that when storms come, instead of being uprooted, our roots run deeper. That's the purpose of the storms. So when you understand that sometimes storms need to happen so your roots can learn to run deep, then you won't be so surprised when you're dealing with some trials and tribulations. That's the only way it happens sometimes. It only comes from storms. There is nothing more frustrating and fearful than being spiritually short-sighted. What I mean by that is, that means you on cloud nine one day, the next day you even doubting whether there is a God or not. That's spiritual short-sightedness. Something you're dealing with, something you came across, something that was put up in your lap, you start to even question, does God even care? That's spiritual short-sightedness. Now just yesterday, and we see it all through our scripture, everybody has a bout over there every now and then. If you look back in your past, you have too. I know I have. I mean, many of us have had Elijah moments, been on mountaintops, and next day, next week, whatever, you hide in a cave from somebody called Jezebel. He just knocked over 450 with no problem, called down fire from heaven, and he wandered from one woman. Did he not realize that God could do the same thing to Jezebel that he did to those 450 false prophets? So the question is, do you not realize since God brought you all that stuff in your past, he can deal with this problem today too? And not only today, tomorrow as well. So you ain't got to worry about tomorrow either. Because he's proved himself faithful yesterday and today, so there's no need to worry about what comes tomorrow. That's walking by faith and not by sight. It frees us from the task of understanding everything about life. Notice what it says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. I'm paraphrasing it. And then as a result, lean not on thy own understanding. Stop trying to understand everything. You won't get to, that's a message you won't get on this side of living. Just chalk that up. But when we do, it frustrates us. We want to see how the puzzle fits together. We want to see how it's all going to end. It says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to understand everything that happens to you, about you, around you. God's still with you. He still got you. He still loves you. He still won't put more than you can bear. Many times what happens is we become so stressed because of problems, we venture and float away from the very person who's able to help us. You ever seen somebody like that? Well, I'm going through some issues. But where you been lately? Well, I'm going through some stuff. Well, that means you ought to be there even more. Why would you leave the only person that can help you? How do you think you're going to fix it by worrying about it? Doesn't do any good. He's teaching us to walk by faith and not by sight. And one final case study. You want to understand what it looks like in Scripture? Look at the call of Abraham in the book of Genesis. It's one of the most fascinating stories to me in the Old Testament. I love reading and learning. But can you imagine? You being in the place of Abraham. God comes to you and says, I want you to take you and your whole family and go. That's all he says. Go. He didn't say what direction. He didn't say where you get. You know, he didn't say what city. He just said, go. How many of us will still be in the land of earth now asking questions? I ain't got no map. And who? Where am I going to eat at? Where am I going to take a nap? Or how am I going to know I'll get there? Or what if I run into trouble? What if some robbers get me? What if one of my camels died? What if I run out of food? He just said, go. Would you do it? Because he's doing the same thing to us. Now, God had the ability. If he told Abraham to go and what he had promised for him, don't you think that God, if he chose to, in his infinite wisdom, could have told him and mapped out a route exactly how to get to where he was supposed to get? Don't you think God could have done that? We see it through our scripture, him being that fine in detail. So why does he tell Abraham to go? Because sometimes that's what he requires of us. That's one of the reasons why he's able to weather turn the father of the faithful. It's never easy to leave the comfort and safety of familiar surroundings. It's even harder to go to a new place. It's even harder when there's no maps or road maps to go by directions. It's yet even harder when this decision affects others. Because not only did Abraham have to deal with that, look at all those folks he took with him. He took his whole family and many of his extended family. And Abraham didn't know where they were going. Sammy didn't either. You know people. They might have got 3 or 4 miles down the road and said, where are we going? This rascal done got us lost. I'm going back home. And he's saying, keep going. Go where? Go where, Abraham? You don't even know where you're going yourself. Where am I going? We're going around this circle. I done seen that same rock 4 times. You leading us astray. I'm getting hungry. What are we going to eat? Why I got the slowest camel? Why am I always in the back? Get all people to do all kind of stuff, but we do the same thing to God. More facts. This trip was about 800 miles. 800 miles from where he was to where he ended up. It wasn't just right across the street. 800 miles, and God directed his path every step of the way. Don't you think he'll do the same thing for us? So why are you acting like you got to have roadmap instructions when God just says go? As I said before, there were no Holiday Inns, no Golden Corrals, no new camel station. God just said go. And they went at the speed of the slowest camel. That's how you travel in a caravan. So maybe some of them wanted to hurry up and get to wherever they was going. But they couldn't leave those behind. So they have some frustration there too. There was danger all around the whole way. But God protected them. Are you willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Have you been walking by sight? And your sight has become short-sighted. Abraham focused on God and his promises, not the journey itself. That's how he made it. God promised him. He says, go, and I'll lead you to a place where I'm going to number your descendants like I number the stars in the sky or the sand on the beaches. He just said, go. I got something else better for you. This is a prime example of walking by faith and not by sight. We must learn to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus no matter what. He knew, he'd already been proven true, that God was Jehovah Jireh, which means God provides. He remembered some things that God had already done for him. He knew who God was. God provides what? Everything. When you trust God to provide everything, surely he'll path out of the way. Surely he'll order your steps. Surely he'll keep you on the path of righteousness. Surely he'll take care of enemies before you even get to him. Surely he'll give you the strength to deal with whatever you're dealing with. Surely he'll provide everything you need along the way. Even when we show ourselves to be disobedient, God still provides. If not, ask the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Now, we talk about them because they were stiff-necked people and they died in the wilderness. But God was still providing for them all along. Do you realize that they had shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years, some of them? Do you realize they had clothes that didn't have holes in them? Do you realize he fed them manna? Manna means what is it? Nobody planted. They ain't had no Walmarts. They ain't had no food lines. They just got up in the morning, and their meal was provided. And there was nourishing enough to provide them and keep them full all day long. And they got a double portion on the 6th day of the week, so nobody had to work on the 7th. But then they weren't satisfied with that. I want some meat. I got to have some bird. I got to have some flesh. So God sent a quail just dropping out the sky. Nobody had a slingshot, pistol, shotgun, anything. God just sent them their way and dropped them out the sky. And guess what? They still murmuring and complaining. God's doing the same thing to us. Are we still murmuring and complaining? There's punishment for it. That's why they died in the wilderness. If you're not careful, you'll die in the wilderness as well if all you do is murmur and complain. So let's look at the blessings in closing. Because Abraham walked by faith and not by sight. God made him a great nation. Genesis 15:2. God will bless his family richly, materially, and spiritually. All he had to do was go. God would make his name great. Father of the faithful, we're still talking about him today. July 7, 2019. God's blessings will overflow to others. Because he went, others were blessed. Because God trusted him, look at how he blessed others. Look at those who were blessed because he went. When we go and follow God, make no mistake about it. We're going to bless some folks around us that know us and that intimately know us. We're going to bless our families when he says go. We're going to bless our friends when he says go. We're going to bless even sometimes our enemies because we went. But notice what else. God will curse those who cursed Abraham. You ain't got to fight your battles if you're following God. He's going to take care of that. Stop trying to get everybody back. Get rid of that hit list you got. And it may not be a physical one. You got a hit list in your mind. Let it go. It ain't worth it. Let God deal with it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Turn it loose to him. All the families of the world be blessed. And again, we will be able to read about Abraham today. Are you walking by faith and not by sight? How do you know? One of the indications you walk in by faith is you're growing spiritually as a child of God. You're no longer totally on milk. Part of the blessings of being on meat, a strong meat, is that your senses become discerned or grow or sharpen to the point where you're able to live by it. Because if you're not able to see it, you can still hear God even more. And if you're not able to see him, maybe you can smell danger coming from a mile away now. If you're not able to see it, then all your other senses, you can touch and taste the goodness of God and keep your eyes closed. I can guarantee you right now, some people, their favorite dessert, you ain't got to tell them what it is, they can close their nose, but as soon as they hit the palates of their mouth, they can tell you what it is. Because that taste has become so discerned, that sense of taste, they can tell you what it is. That's my favorite dessert. How you know? You couldn't smell it, you ain't seen me fix it. I know it by its texture. I know it by how it hits my mouth. I know it because the sensation it causes when it's in my mouth. All those other senses become better. But you got to be willing to stop trying to see everything. You begin to hear God better. You begin to see without even seeing with your eyes. That's what it means to be able to discern between good and evil. You're looking at things through your spiritual eye. You'll be able to see evil and Satan coming from a mile away. I promise you, if you're growing like you should. You'll see it, no matter how it's dressed up, how it looks. I'm not saying sometimes he won't sneak up on you, but your general mindset is you can see it before you get there. You already know what's not good for you. You're already able to see it. So your senses become the same. Maybe today, in closing, you're not walking by faith. Maybe today you're trying to walk by what you see. And seeing includes what other folks say, what other folks tell you about yourself, your situation. But God says we walk by faith and not by sight. Stop trying to see everything. God already has a plan now. And because he wants us to grow, what is he going to do sometimes to us? Either he's going to take us in dark places where we can't see, or he's going to blindfold us to the point where we have to trust him. Anybody who's blindfolded, it happens sometimes at parties and stuff. Trying to have a surprise party with somebody, they a lot of times put a blindfold on you. So what do you have to do to trust that you're going to make it there? First of all, you have to believe the person who's taking you to put that blindfold on is trustworthy. Number one. Number two is, you understand, I'm not going to lead you off a cliff because they love you. So what do? You give them your hand. And they say, follow me. Take 10 steps and take a right. You take 10 steps and take a right. I can't see. Go 5 more steps and take a left. You go 5 more steps and take a left. And eventually they say, stop. But you're able to trust that when you stop, your life's not in danger. You didn't see how you got there. Sometimes it happens and you take out the blindfold and you're in a room full of people. Called a surprise birthday party. But you trusted them. Now you may be mad at them because they took you through all that, but aren't you glad you could trust them with your life, their life, your life in their hands? We do, first of all, walk by faith by doing what he says. He's given us, as plain as day, what we must do to be saved. We do that by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's the faith. That's the initial foundation of faith. Then we believe what we have heard. That's part of faith. You believe it. Yes, he is real. God is real. Yes, he does love us. Yes, he requires us to obey the gospel. Doesn't matter what you see or what you think. Then we repent of our sins. And you and I know we need to repent. As I said this morning in my Bible study at the nursing home, you know, how foolish is it? You know, in Isaiah chapter 53, it says that Christ rules for their iniquities, and yet they hid their face from him. How foolish is it to try to hide from God? Who you think you're fooling? He sees and knows everything. And yet some of us still become disillusioned that we can even hide stuff from God. You stand naked before him each and every second you're on this earth. He even knows your thoughts. So repentance is in order. Then we confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Sweetest confession ever made. You're going to own up. You're going to do it one day or the other. The question is whether you're going to do it on your terms or his. If you do it on your terms, you got a chance to make it to eternity. If you do it on his terms, the next thing you're going to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you. You're going to own up to him one day, to who he is. And then we're baptized for the remission of our sins. Why? That's faith. Why? Because Christ says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why? Because we see it all through our scripture. Why? Because Christ did it to fulfill all righteousness. Why? Because in Acts 2:38, that's when they receive forgiveness of their sins and indwelling message, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? That's faith. Stop trying to see it. Stop trying to justify it. If you come to me any other way, your faith is not based on truth. That's how we walk, not by what we see. And if you are just straight away, maybe you stop walking by faith and begin to walk by sight. All it takes is repentance in order to get those things back right. So let us stand. We'll have a verse of 553. You have one desire to put on Christ.